That was sweet. Did anybody enjoy to this point your worship? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. The prayers, praise you, Jesus. The singing, the hymns, praise you, Jesus. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Me too. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I would ask, let's not bow our heads. Let's look up to Jesus. Father, this morning we thank you for the day that we set apart to worship you and praise you and learn about you. And God, you are in the house. God, I pray that your spirit would prevail, that nothing would distract us from your word. God, I pray that your spirit does a work in us that marks us for eternity. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I'm just all full of worship. A little distracted by my worship. Is that a bad thing? Maybe you're sitting there going, what in the world is he talking about? What is worship? Well, it's in the Word of God. You know, we get instruction from God's Word. That's what I've been trying to teach for the last 5 years. I'm not blowing smoke here. This book is powerful, especially this one, because it's like 16 by 20 inches big, so it's got power. So last week I said that I would lead us to what to build with on our foundation. What are you building with to make your life strong? Is it money? Is it good health? I think 2 weeks ago we looked at the things of this world pass away. They fade. But the things of God, what he desires, stand strong. So I'm going to suggest three things, maybe four. Four actually, but the two go together. So three things. But I want to ask the question, what is it to be Christian? I'm a Christian. But what is it to be Christian? And I'm talking about the behavior of those who have accepted by faith Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. That's the Christian I'm talking about. And they have allowed Jesus to become Lord, guide, and director of their life. Something happens. Have you experienced it? No, James, what are you talking about? See, we need to know who we are as a Christian before we can be used of God as a Christian to do the work he has placed on this earth for us to do, build his church. Not the building, the people, the Christians, the little Christ's. It's what it is to be a Christian. When we accept Jesus, the follower of Christ is filled with God's Holy Spirit. We begin to live our lives differently. Pretty much this is what we've been talking about since the beginning of the year, and I promise this is it. We're moving on. A couple smiles of affirmation there. Romans 8, 5 through 9. You don't have to turn there. I'll get you into God's word in just a couple minutes. It makes this point clear. Listen to Romans 8, 5 through 9. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. That's a sorry place to be in, And I'm so glad that these verses go on. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what God says to us. Paul goes on to say, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Christ is the starting point. He's the foundation. Church, we need to get this. We need to own it. Believe it. It is the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for us to even serve God. Throughout this book right here, there are all kinds of examples of how Christians should live their life. Jesus himself speaks frequently about the way we are to interact with others, with our family, our friends, and even, yes, our enemies. Jesus, just looking at Jesus' life and the life he lived, we see his compassion for the lost. Yes? Have you read the book? At some point, we have to follow his example. We need to get this valuable, influential information into our lives. Otherwise, we're going to go blind and aimlessly into this life. And we're going to walk around going, I wonder why, I wonder why, I wonder why. Where is God? That's not the question. Where are you? Are you in the Word? There's a joke out there about a pastor who calls a congregant and so that the congregant could feel good about himself. He named his bed the Word. And so when the pastor would call the house, the congregant could confidently say, oh, I'm in the Word. He's in the bed. Bad joke. That's why I don't tell jokes. That's why I don't tell stories and I don't tell jokes. I use God's Word. Look, I understand. Yeah, I should tell you the other one. At the birthday parties, I'll tell you another one about the pastor. You got to watch me because if I say I'm on visitation, you'll understand why. But anyway, look, we have to understand that there are obstacles in this life that can distract us, distract our minds from focusing on Christ and hindering our spiritual lives to grow. But here's the truth. Only if we let them. I don't have to watch TV for 3 hours. I can get up an hour earlier and spend time in God's Word. I don't have to stay in the bed, in the Word. There are ways to avoid this. So here's the list. If you have a pencil, write it down. If not, ask your neighbor for a pencil. How can you avoid these trappings? How about worship and praise? We had a sweet time of worship and praise since our time of prayer. The couple of us that got together, we closed our time of prayer and we said, wow, that was great worship. And then we come into the sanctuary and we worshiped. Another one on the list would be God's Word. And add to that prayer. So praise and worship, God's Word, and prayer can keep us centered, building with good materials on a strong foundation, which is Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us, I urge you, brothers, I urge you, James, I urge you, filling your name. This is Paul, this is God speaking to you through Paul, through me. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? And do you really believe it's to be the way your life is right now? You can impact today and tomorrow and the rest of your lives until Jesus calls you home by following him. Put him first. Try it. You might like it. When we build on a proper foundation, an exemplary Christian lifestyle is achieved. When we fully commit ourselves to serving the Lord, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit who enables us to carry out our Father's will. Now we have to step back once. Is he your Father? What is it to be Christian? Go to church? Give a couple bucks? Make a couple sandwiches? Is that the church? Listen to 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says this: the eyes of the Lord, there's those capital letters again, the God of the universe, range throughout the earth. Why? To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, Jesus first, in everything, and you will prevail. Listen, Christians are a chosen people, redeemed by and belonging to God. Why? So that we can declare his praises. Are you praising Jesus in the big things only? How about the little things? That we got to load our car without the rain falling on us. Little drips of rain here and there, carrying the stuff out. Okay, car's loaded, go in, get my cup of coffee, come out, it's raining all the way here. I love God. Why not serve him? As you go about your day, are you worshiping and praising God? Both of these contribute to a good foundation. Before this can truly take place, the follower of Christ must address some things in their lives. So if you have your Bible, and I know you have access to your Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, alongside of you, you have a cell phone, you have God's Word. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, but I want you to follow along. So 1 Peter chapter 2 is found on page 1,888 in your Bible. 1,188 in your Bible. Or in the Bible you're borrowing. Oh, you know what? I take that back. It's not in your Bible. It's in the pew Bible. If you brought your Bible, well, that's good. And you probably know where 1 Peter is. Good for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. I learned this a couple weeks ago when we were under the tent. If you're there, look up. I love that. So true. Okay, great. We have eyes. Rid yourselves of all malice. That's not the very beginning of verse 1. Rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. In other words, crave God's word. Why? So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him, the one who trusts in Jesus, will never be put to shame." Amen. Thank you. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. Why? They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. That's verse 8, if you're not knowing where we're at. Look, that's where we begin. We're destined for hell. And then God, by his grace, pursues us. And by his working, somehow we respond and we say yes to Jesus. Here's the benefit. Verse 9. But you, listen, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who did a work in you, who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. There's a battle. And I'll tell you, before prayer, it was waging. It wasn't raging in me. And I tell you, I'm not the man I walked into this building. I am walking in someone else's power, in newness of life that I can't muster up. This ain't from me. It's from him. To declare his praises, we must understand it's essential to be in his word. Oh, I wish I could be like you, Donna. Yeah, look at her shaking her head. No, you don't want to be like me. But man, you know Scripture. I wish I could be like you, James. You pray, so stop the madness. Don't critique, pray. Don't critique, I wish I had. Read the book. God's word is essential. Not just so we can learn how to behave like Christians, but so that we can do battle against the schemes of the evil one. That battle, I don't care where you stand, it's very real. And if you can't make it on your own, then you surround yourselves with others that'll pray with and for you. It works. We read God's word so we can battle against those. The Apostle Paul points out, without biblical knowledge, we're not only subject to every form of teaching that comes down the road, but we fall victim to the cunning and the craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. That's on page 1821 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians comes after another book, and it's before another book in the Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, yeah. We don't have to be babies, we can know. And then you can bring your own Bible and just know where to go, or I will spoon feed you the milk. Because you're still babies. And at some point we're going to grow and know and become like Christ. To be the church. We looked at this last week. But I think it's going to be to our benefit to read the first 16 verses as a whole. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, found on page 1821 in the Pew Bible. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's as far as we went last week. I want to go on. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all who believe. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives. He gave them gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earthly region? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than the heavens in order to fill the whole universe through those who believe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people, you people. Why? For works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, if you're lost. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their dreadful deceitful scheming. I love the next word. Instead, speaking the truth in love, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You got a job to do. I don't know what it is, but God has equipped you to do something. Are you willing to do? Are you willing to respond to his calling? Understand this. Knowledge alone is not enough. We're called to do more than to know and believe. You start by knowing Jesus and believing, and then he does a work and we start doing. And it's going to be different. Maybe uncomfortable. You think it's comfortable standing up here? You think it's comfortable standing out there? Whew. Followers of Christ are to be doers of his word, of his word, of his word. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. He goes on to say, we're deceiving ourselves if we think we are spiritual by only hearing the word. I go to church every week. I even pray on Thursday night. I must be Christian. Really? An hour and 20 minutes a week? Good job. If you have your Bible, turn to another chapter. James chapter 2. I'm sorry, I'll give you the page number. I'm not used to this. James chapter 2. It's in the New Testament. In your pew Bible, it's on page 1882. 1882 in your pew Bible, you will find James chapter 2, and we're going to be reading 14 through 26. While you're finding that page, I want to just tell you that hearing is not the same as doing. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, God's word tells us it's dead. James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers? Stop right there. What good is it, James? So brothers, put your name there. What good is it? Fill in your name. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Are you a friend of Jesus? My best friend. You see, that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? You can read about that, and I think it's Joshua 2 or 6 or 2 through 6. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Remember our starting point, class? Where do we begin life? Dead, spiritually. And then God does a work and continues that work throughout all eternity. That's what I believe. If we're building on the right foundation, God's word, our faith will always be demonstrated by actions. You can't sit still. You have a story to tell to the nation. The actions that glorify our Father in heaven are those that bear much fruit. Church, show me the fruit. Show your fruit. It's a Bible drill. If you have a pew Bible, you can turn to page 8. Nope. You can turn to 1677, 1677. When you get there, you can tell the people who brought their Bible what book we're in. Show me the fruit. I didn't know I had to work today. Look, I'm allowing you to take an action. Tell some people where to go. That might change their life for eternity. And if somebody doesn't speak up, then I'll just tell you the book. 1677. That's good. John 15. So let me tell you what verses to go to. So if you brought your Bible with you this morning, if you have your cell phone up this morning, go to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 7 to 17. John chapter 15, starting at verse 7 on page 1677 in the Pew Bible. 1677. I just want to prove that when I'm up here speaking, it's not my words, it's God's word. This is what John 15, 7 says. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. That is, I'm not making that up. That's what God's word says. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. Remember, I said that we're supposed to be living on this earth the way Jesus lived on this earth when he was here. And if I didn't say that, I'm going to say it. But I'm saying it right now. I have told you this. And this is Jesus speaking. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Wait! We just read that Jesus calls me friend because I believe. I'm no longer something else. Wait till you see what I'm not like. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you through the Bible. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Bananas, oranges? No, fruit that will last. God's word. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Love Jesus first. And you will love your neighbor. You'll pray for your neighbor. You'll pray for opportunities to serve. Follow Jesus' example. His custom was to get up early in the morning, go to a quiet place, and talk to his heavenly Father. And we do the same thing. The only difference is, I believe Jesus stopped and waited for instruction. He didn't move until his Father said, move. What's that song? Where you go, I'll go. Where you send, I'll send. Where you... Yeah, when he moves, I move. In the second half of Ephesians, chapters 4 through 6, Paul discusses Christian behavior, which can be best summed up in these two thoughts. Be imitators of God and live a life of love. That's what we're called to do. We're to be living here on earth the way Jesus lived when he was here. Living to please one person, God. Three persons, one God. We are created to worship and praise God in the way we live our lives. That's one. These are the notes you want to write down. We're on this planet to learn all we can about him through the reading and hearing of God's word so that we will reflect him well in all that we do. I don't reflect him well when I sit behind the wheel. Please pray for me. I'm going to be behind the wheel for 12 hours. My prayer that I'm asking to pray for me is that I would reflect him well. because that doesn't come natural. As soon as there is something in the driver's seat of every car, I don't know what it is, at least when I sit there. What else are we supposed to do? Pray! Pray without ceasing. We're going to worship and praise God. We're going to be in His Word, and we're going to pray. Keep an open line of communication through prayer to carry out His plan that He has set in place for us to do. Do you know what His plan for your life is? Because I don't. But if you ask Him, He'll reveal it. He's real good at that. Doing these three things will keep us centered on a strong foundation. So today, if you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit to dedicate your life to Him, or to rededicate your life to Him, now is the appointed time. Here's the scary part being a pastor. I'm not going to ask you to move from your seat. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to lead you through some thoughts to pray. And if you're willing and you agree, make your request along with me as we pray. This can be your prayer. It's just my prayer I'm sharing with you. Lord, I pray that I would reflect You well wherever I go, lighting up the darkness with truth, speaking words of hope where there is despair, and revealing Your unconditional love in all that I do. Thank You for the power and the strength of Your Holy Spirit to get me through this day and the many days yet to come. May the way I live my life be lived in such a way that the work You have planned for me to do would be accomplished. Lord, help me to be my best, do my best to bring glory to You in all that I do. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus, my Savior and my Lord. Amen.